Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Explain This. I'm with the star of the show, Robin Riddle. Robin, how's it going?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely.
And we've got exciting topics today. Why don't you introduce this topic? Because this is one that I asked you before we hit record a little bit about it, and I'm fascinated. So what are we talking about?
Okay, so today I want to tell you guys about our dietary antigen testing. Mm. This is the way that we test for food allergies and for food sensitivities.
Okay.
A company that we're using is Precision Point Diagnostics, and so it is very, very different than traditional allergy testing. So a lot of times people will think like, I feel like I'm having a reaction to food. What should I do about it? Well, they're going to go to an allergist who's going to recommend either skin prick testing or traditional blood testing looking for IgE.
Okay.
These are eosinophilic induced reactions. This is looking, that is how you look for true food allergies, but it is not a complete picture. What we're doing is getting a full picture.
Okay.
So you go to a traditional allergist, they're going to scratch the skin, put something on it, see if you pop up red with it, or they're going to do blood and see if it comes back for IgE.
Okay.
But there's so much more that goes into this picture. You also can get at-home tests. I think like Everly Well and things like that do at-home tests. Those are food sensitivity tests, not allergy. Food sensitivities are mediated by IgG. So we have IgE and IgG.
So IgE is food allergies, and IgG is food sensitivities.
Sensitivities.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
So our test is more comprehensive even than that. We look at IgE, IgG4, which we'll get to that in a second, IgG, and C3D, also known as complement. So we're looking at the potential for allergies and sensitivities in four different ways.
So we're looking for allergies and sensitivities in the four different ways. I've heard of some of them, but that last one, I have no clue.
Yep.
I don't get the compliment. All right.
We'll go into that.
Let's go into them.
Well, so first, why even look at this?
Okay.
You know, obviously some people think like, oh, every time I eat pineapple, my tongue swells and I get itchy. I think I might be allergic to it. I'm going to go test for that. That's an obvious reason to look for food allergies, but also inflammation. If we have underlying inflammation that we cannot get rid of, you know, you're doing labs, you've got a high HSCRP, we don't know why. You've got Hashimoto's and your antibodies are out the roof and we can't get them under control. Anything like that, where we have that chronic inflammation, that's a great reason to actually do this sort of testing and see if what you're eating is triggering those issues.
You know, we talk a ton about inflammation, and I know you treat that every single day. Is this part of kind of your toolbox?
I love for it to be.
Okay.
You know, this is a test that's not covered by insurance, so it is a little bit more on the expensive side.
Right.
Typically in the $500 to $600 range right now. But if it's something that patients can afford to do, it is something that I love to do because it's a huge piece of information for us.
Absolutely.
And so also I love for this to be part of my gut workup.
Yep.
So food reactions can lead to leaky gut. Or leaky gut can lead to food reactions. It can go both ways.
I didn't know leaky gut could lead to food reactions.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get into that more.
Heal the
as
gut.
Well. Heal the gut. I mean, everything. We always say all health comes from the gut. All health starts in the gut. And so between gut and inflammation, great reasons to do a test.
Absolutely.
Like this. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So a poor gut barrier caused by that leaky gut leads to a lower immune response in the body, which means that the body has a harder time responding to other infections and controlling other things. So in general, overall health, great to look at this.
Out of curiosity, the patients that you're seeing, are a lot of them concerned about sensitivities? Is this on their radar or is this something that is kind of new? Because when I think of food allergies, I think of like, you know, eggs, peanuts, kind of the big ones.
Right, yeah.
But we're talking about the whole gamut. Sensitivities,
looking
things that are
everything.
Causing inflammation, things that can really affect you without even realizing it.
Yeah. And to answer that, so some patients do come to me and they're like, I really think this is a food thing. I've had regular allergy testing. It didn't show anything. I still think it's from something that I'm eating. Mm. And other patients come in and they have no clue that this is even an option, but symptoms lead me to talk about this.
Got it.
And so one way of addressing it, if we can't do the test, is to do what's called an elimination diet. But elimination diets are very strict and very hard to stick to because you take away basically everything that you could possibly eat. We go down to bare bones and we very slowly add foods back and wait to see if there's reactions.
How long does that, like when you do a true food elimination diet, is that like a month long thing?
Months.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's really difficult to do and really frustrating.
Right.
So something like this helps us hone in and say, okay, these are your 10 foods that look like they're an issue. This is how we're going to take those away. And this is how we're going to work on adding them back.
Got it.
So it hones things in a whole lot more for us. So to kind of recap again, food allergies are mediated by IgE reactions. These can cause an immediate response in the body. So this is where, you know, swelling of the tongue, difficulty breathing, hives, it can even lead to anaphylaxis. Right. These are your traditional true food allergies. This happens when antibodies that are made by the immune system get confused and start attacking foods instead of attacking bacteria or viruses or whatever else they're supposed to be attacking.
Huh.
And the rate of food allergies is skyrocketing.
Is that like a, why is that? Because it feels like it's way more, it's more that, common now.
That could be a whole nother, that's a whole nother video for me. It is way more common.
Yeah.
And brief answer, vaccine rates have gone up significantly. Allergy rates have gone up significantly.
Got it.
So.
Got it.
We have tons and tons and tons of kids that are allergic to everything under the sun. Okay. Once you have kids in school, you get the allergy list every year. You can't send anything that has peanuts. You can't send anything that has wheat in it, all the different things. There's allergies are so common nowadays.
So wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's food allergies. Food sensitivities are mediated by IgG antibodies. Traditionally, these are created in the body to provide long-term resistance against different infections. So like Epstein-Barr virus, mono. If you have mono, you will always have IgG antibodies to that virus. The body knows how to attack it.
Got it.
That's what they're supposed to be doing. But again, those IgG can get confused and they can start attacking foods instead. This is food sensitivities. So symptoms of food sensitivities are often much more subtle than food allergies. And these can go undiscovered for years, a whole lifetime even.
Now with the, you know, the swelling of the tongue, mm-hmm. those are all food allergy symptoms.
Those are typically allergy symptoms.
And now we're talking sensitivity.
Sensitivity, so IgG mediated reactions can be symptoms like fatigue, headaches, nausea, hyperactivity. So kids with ADHD, it could actually be food sensitivity reactions, bloating, mood changes, even dark circles under your eyes. Chronic dark circles can be food sensitivities. Symptoms usually occur anywhere from 3 to 72 hours after that food has been consumed. So tracking down a food sensitivity can be nearly impossible.
Yeah, I mean, 3 days.
You eat more than one thing in 3 days. So it can be very, very difficult to track these down, which is why testing is so important for us.
Now, and I'm sure we're going into this, but like how often is this like a forever thing? Like a once?
It's not a forever thing. And okay. So that's again, why I love this test.
Okay.
Because a lot of times when we see a lot of these reactions come up, again, we're also relating this back to the gut. Why do we have these reactions? Did leaky gut cause this? So if we work on the gut, we can work on reactions.
Ah, well, yeah. That's hopeful, Robin.
It connects everything together.
Goodness gracious, because I was thinking like, oh, it says, you know, I'm allergic to strawberries or sensitive to strawberries and I could never have strawberries again.
Not the case.
Heal the gut.
Yep, heal the gut.
Okay.
So the other thing that we are looking for is going to be IgG4. So IgG4, this is another antibody produced in the body. This is what they use in allergy therapies. So when people go the traditional route, go to an allergist, hey, you're allergic to these 5 things, we're going to give you allergy shots. They're actually doing those shots to trigger the release of IgG4. So IgG4 is actually protective. So we look at this and, you know, if you look at one of our tests, we have a column that says IgE. Right next to it, it says IgG4. Then it says immune tolerance.
Okay.
So IgG4 is trying to protect you. So it's there to try to cover up the symptoms of an allergy.
Okay.
So basically, if IgG4 makes it to those binding sites first, it binds, the IgE antibodies can't get there. We can't create that histamine reaction. We can't have that allergic reaction. That's called an immune tolerance. So IgG4, your body's trying to help you. It's trying to protect you. Like, hey, listen, you shouldn't have eaten that beef again. I'm going to send these antibodies out again. I'm going to protect you from this again. So it's trying to help us. So it can be a good thing. But too much IgG4 can lead to immune-mediated conditions, and it can affect multiple body systems. So eosinophilic esophagitis is one of the things that can actually be caused by too much IgG4. Autoimmune thyroiditis or Hashimoto's, too much IgG4 can even affect the health of the prostate and the ovaries.
So is it like it gets tired because it's like trying to protect you so much? Is that what happens when it turns into like a, you know, Hashimoto's?
You just are pushing out too much of it.
Okay.
So you're chronically eating something that you're allergic to. The body is constantly trying to help you, trying to protect you. I'm going to send this again. I'm going to send it again. But when you just get too much of it, that buildup can start to cause issues.
So your body's trying to say, hey, stop eating
this. Quit doing that.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. But you're not.
But you're not. You continue to do it. So it continues to try to protect you until it gets to the point that it's actually harming you by trying to protect you.
And are those subtle symptoms or?
Sometimes there's no symptoms at all. Yeah. You don't actually know it's coming from the food that you're eating, which is why testing is so important.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that we're looking for is C3D, also known as complement. So complement's another protein produced by the immune system that can bind to an antigen, and it increases inflammation and increases the symptoms of a food sensitivity. So complement's bad. From the get-go, it's bad. If complement is present in an IgG reaction, it can amplify that reaction anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 times beyond what it would have been without the complement present.
So the complement would be another food?
Complement is another way of reacting to a food.
Got it. Okay.
So beef. If you have an allergy to beef, you would have an IgE reaction. If your body's trying to protect you from that, you're going to have an IgG4 level higher than your IgE.
Got it.
If you have a food sensitivity to beef, you're going to test positive for IgG. If your body really doesn't like it, you're going to also test positive for complement. Complement makes the IgG worse.
So if you see something on this report and it has the complement, that's like a food. Okay. No go.
We've got to cut that one out for
a while. Right, that's done. Okay.
Yeah, and so certain medical conditions are actually known to be triggered or increased by that C3D. And so if I have a patient that I know has one of those medical conditions and we test and we see foods that are C3D positive, absolutely those foods have got to go until we calm things back down. Mm. So things like lupus, psoriasis, depression, Crohn's disease, Hashimoto's, RA, ulcerative colitis, gout, all those sorts of things can actually be worsened by complement.
Super interesting and super important.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of amazed. I've never actually done one of these tests before. and I'm trying to, I'm asking myself, why have I not done this?
Exactly.
It's really interesting.
Yeah. It's a really cool test. So we do this test. We get this report back. It's like a 20-page report. It's very overwhelming when you first get it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I like to kind of sparse it down for patients. There's two pages that are extremely important for us. One is the page labeled a more restrictive diet, and then we have a page labeled a less restrictive diet. The more restrictive diet is going to remove any foods that tested positive for moderate to high levels of sensitivities or allergies, and it rotates out any mildly reactive foods or foods that are positive for a complement reaction.
Okay.
So you come up with a list of, you can eat as much as you want of this, you need to rotate these, meaning only eat them every couple of days, and you need to eliminate these foods.
Oh, that's interesting. So there is a value in just eating less of something.
Yes.
That's interesting.
We're limiting how much we're exposed to it, how often the body is responding to it.
I think I would respond by if I'm sensitive, just don't eat it at all. But that's not
always the case.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they also have a less restrictive diet. This is for patients who either already have a lot of dietary restrictions, or for those who are just overwhelmed with the possibility of all those dietary changes, or for those who can't do it.
Right.
Like for kids, if you do this testing on a child and you get 20 foods that come back, you are not in any way, shape, or form going to eliminate all those foods. So the less restrictive diet is telling you these are the ones that are really a problem. These are the ones you need to focus on first.
Got it.
And which diet I choose to go with for patients just depends on the patient's outlook on it and how desperate they are, or how much they really want to be motivated for this. So to answer your question from earlier, these foods do not have to be eliminated forever, but I do typically eliminate them for 3 to 6 months.
The sensitivities.
Yes. Got sensitivities it. And okay. allergies. Anything, if we choose less restrictive, if we choose more restrictive, whatever foods are on that list, I'm going to recommend that we get rid of those foods for at least 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
And in that 3 to 6 months, we are focusing on an intense gut healing protocol. A great test to go along with this, if we see a lot of reactions, is our GI map, because yep. then I can figure out what else is going on in the gut that's letting this happen.
And that, like, so if you're going after the gut too, so mm-hmm. you're eliminating all your sensitivities as well as healing the gut, mm-hmm. you could retest and those sensitivities
would be down,
would be different, yeah. you know, or yeah. less of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
And so, like I said earlier, leaky gut can lead to food sensitivities. Food sensitivities can lead to leaky gut. They are very closely related.
Okay.
So it could be that you had a bacterial infection that damaged the lining of the intestines, and that's what caused the leaky gut. But then when the leaky gut's there, what's happening is proteins and molecules from that food that you're consuming is allowed to leak out into the body, and the body recognizes it as foreign. The body says, broccoli's not supposed to be out here in the bloodstream. We got to get rid of it. Yeah. So it mounts this antibody response against it. And that's where those sensitivities start to develop.
Okay.
So oftentimes when I do this test and I see somebody come back with a lot of sensitivities and they're like, dude, like coffee and chocolate, that's what I eat every single day. I'm like, well, that's why you have that sensitivity, which triggers me to go back again to the gut. We've probably got leaky gut. If we address the leaky gut, we address those sensitivities, we can bring those foods back eventually.
Yeah, it's like you got a whole bunch of injuries, mm-hmm. you know, in your gut, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, one thing I'm thinking about is, one, what is it like a blood test?
It's a blood test.
Okay, so this is a blood
test. Two vials of blood, super easy to do. You don't have to be fasting, no specific dietary restrictions before you do it. If anything, I tell people, make sure you're eating a wide variety of things. Personally, if I went and did this, I'm gluten-free. If I went and did this test, I'm probably not going to show a reaction to gluten because I've been gluten-free for so long.
Okay.
Because of this test. I tested positive for gluten on it.
Now, is there a number of foods that it...
88.
Okay, so 88.
So it looks at the 88 most commonly reactive foods, and then it actually even gives you a list of what could be cross sensitivities. So like if you have an allergy or sensitivity to beef, you could also be reactive to dairy.
And it'll say that.
You, mm-hmm, it gives Got you a it. List of possible cross reactions.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing I'm wondering, it was in my mind just now, and now I'm losing it.
Because I talked, sorry.
No, there's a real symptoms of these sensitivities, anything that the mm-hmm. audience can look out for. I know they're super mild, and
yeah.
often, you know, we won't notice anything.
Yeah.
But is there any thing you're seeing consistently?
Big ones, bloating, yeah. headache, chronic fatigue. So personally, I'll share, I did this test years ago, and I was to the point that I was having daily bloating. I would get up, I would feel good. You know, I go to the gym in the morning. I would eat oats before I went to the gym.
Yeah.
By the time I would get to the gym, my stomach would hurt so bad that I could barely work out. Mm. Had headaches every single day, chronically tired, like could literally fall asleep talking to someone. I was so tired. Mm. So I did this test and came back with multiple reactions. And of course, followed the trail down of that. There was some gut stuff going on that needed to be addressed, but I was reacting to everything I was eating. So when I would get up in the morning and eat oats, well, I was reacting to oats.
So you're reacting to everything.
I was reacting to all the things I was eating. Yeah. Chicken, that's the point. And I was eating a lot of chicken and rice. Chicken was a huge reaction for me, so that had to go away for a while. Gluten was a big reaction. I tried to add that one back in, and it's a no-go. I just can't do that one.
But the chicken, you were able to because you mm-hmm. healed the gut.
I healed the gut, and then I was able to start eating chicken again.
You know, I'm really glad you brought that up with the leaky gut plus the sensitivities.
Yeah.
They go together.
They do.
And it's not like, you have the sensitivity, there's nothing you could do about it. You know, heal yeah. the gut, and the sensitivity could lead you to heal the gut.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
This was really, really good. Good. Honestly, is this a show?
This is a show.
Guys, that's a show. What the Dunwoody? What's it called?
It's Precision Point Diagnostics now.
Precision Point Diagnostics. That is a food allergy test. It covers everything. Rewatch this video. Share it with somebody. Robin, I'm going to have to rewatch this one. I'm not going to lie.
That's okay. It's a lot of information.
Guys, you name it. We explain it. We'll see you guys next time. Thank y'all for
having me. Don't go away.
Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.